This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. It's the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. We'll be following Divine Service 1 out of the service book, hymn number 704, 655, 634, and 543. Well, Father, our service received on the way in, beginning on page 3, your confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of the keys and the processional hymn. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated with a confession of sin. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We just deserve the present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and face the center aisle and share the peace. The lectern of the Son. The peace of the Lord be with you always. All the Son. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you. church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Prophet Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me, my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rise for the singing of the Alleluia of Earth.
John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?
discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will save us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John is a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the children's message.
Here we are in the fall, still a great place to be, always in God's house, to celebrate and receive forgiveness and His grace. I brought a tool with me today. Just a tool, right, Dale? So what do you call this?
Hammer.
And it's used to do what?
Claw hammer for nails.
Claw hammer for nails. It's got really one use or two? Two uses, right? We've got all kinds of nails. And it's a claw hammer, it is, because it has a claw and it has a head for the face. And we can bang on things that we see, or we can pull on them. The hammer is a lot like people. You can either be a knocker, kind of unpleasant to pull on things too, but I don't know if that's the way things go. But sometimes it's not always pleasant to remove issues, but we can pull together, we can be a puller or a knocker. There's a story since school started. I heard this. I thought it was good. It kind of goes along the same lines. A new student, there were a couple new students, came to school, and they asked the teacher, you know, I'm a little bit nervous, what kind of students are there at school here? The teacher said, what kind of students did you have at your school? He said, well, pretty much everybody was nice and friendly, easy to get along with. She said, well, that's pretty much the kind of students we have here. And it wasn't 2 minutes later, the other new student came up to the teacher and said, I'm kind of nervous. New school and all, what kind of students do you have here? The teacher said, well, what kind of students did you have at your school? It was really tough. I mean, people didn't get along. Not that it was easy to get along with. People argue sometimes. She said, well, you're probably going to find the same kind of students here at your school. And we have knockers and we have pullers. And my mom always would ask me if I was probably being a knocker, what side of the bed did you get up on? Different ways we can react, but we always have God's word, which is word, everything to us. And we can pull together. We can count on God's word as the absolute truth. We always have to go to and work together with the Holy Spirit. So please say a prayer with me. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit. Show us the truth. Give us care and concern. And joy in all we do.
We continue with the sermon hymn. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word on page 9.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was in high school in the early 1980s, and computers were just starting to become more mainstream. I remember when I was a freshman, they still were using punch cards for memory. But by my senior year, we were up to the black 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. They could hold 360 kilobits or kilobytes of data. I believe, in my non-engineering calculation, I would only need 355,000 of those 5 1/4 inch disks to equal the memory capacity of my tiny little SD card on my phone. So we come a long way. But when the personal computer was just dawning on the scene, maybe it's the same today, but if you took a computer class, the programming language you would first learn to use was called BASIC. Beginner's All-Purpose Symbolic Instruction Code. And in learning to write simple programs, one of the fundamental lines of code was the if-then-else statement. If the number is less than zero, then print number is negative. Else, if number is greater than zero, then print number is positive. Else, print number is zero. End if. You had to write it all exactly right to make it work. If-then analysis is used also all the time in doing things that have nothing to do with computers. Playing games, especially like a game like chess, you have to think, if I do this, then they will do that, else this other thing will happen. And many days you use if-then else to make calculated responses to things happening in life. We see if-then analysis in politics all the time. A candidate's asked, what do you think about Black Lives Matter? The three words aren't controversial, but if I say I'm in favor, then they may think I support the Black Lives Matter organization with its fairly radical agenda. And politicians, it seems, don't just tell you what they believe. Instead, they always filter everything through thinking about how could this be used against me. What do they actually believe? It's hard to know. Are they telling you the truth or just saying what they think certain people want to hear? You would think that the Jewish religious leaders at Jesus' time would be concerned about God, sin, and forgiveness. But the chief priests and elders of the people at Jesus' time are basically just politicians trying to balance the demands of the Roman authorities with the desires of the Jewish people. There's a fine balance that the religious leaders try to maintain so they can keep their places of prominence and continue to line their own pockets with money. Jesus, this radical preacher from Galilee, has come to Jerusalem and he's stirring up trouble. He's messing up the good thing the religious leaders have going. He's almost caused a riot at the temple as he went around driving out animals for sale and turning over tables covered with coins to change. The chief priests and elders want to get rid of Jesus, so they attack him and they question his authority. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Who told you you could do this? Where do you come from? Who do you think you are?" If Jesus says he has human authority, well, the chief priests and elders have more. If Jesus says he has divine authority from God, well, then that's blasphemy. Jesus knows it's a trap, so he turns the question around on them. Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" Now the chief priests and scribes are faced with an if-then analysis. They don't just answer the question and say what they believe. Instead, they consider their answer and what effect it might have. As they discussed it among themselves, they said, "Well, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from man, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." The chief priests and the scribes are not worried about the truth. They're not worried about God or sin or forgiveness. They're worried about the political and social effects of what they say. They're all about the if-then analysis of what they say. They want to make the proper, calculated response. As Christians, you are called to confess the truth, regardless of the results. And yet there are many who call themselves Christians who are not concerned with God or sin or forgiveness, but rather they're concerned with saying the right things so that nobody is offended. Entire church bodies are willing to give up the truth of the Bible so they can get along with the cultural elites. When confronted with questions that might offend, they do the if-then analysis in order to make a calculated response in order to please others. Is Jesus really God in flesh? Is Jesus the only way to heaven? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? What is God's plan for marriage? Is the Bible really true? Is hell real? Are people really going to go there? When confronted with these questions, you're tempted to do an if-then analysis. You're tempted to calculate your response in order to please others and fit in. You're tempted to conform to the world and reject Jesus. Resist the temptation. Confess the truth. Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus did rise from the dead. God's plan for marriage is the lifelong union of a man and a woman. The Bible is true and reliable. Hell is real, and people are choosing to go there by rejecting Jesus and his forgiveness. Confess the truth of God and be honest about who you are in Christ. It's easy for Christians to start to believe that they're better than others. That's why we begin our worship with the confession of sins. You are by nature sinful and unclean. Christians are not better, just forgiven. Forgiveness is not something you earn, it's purely a gift from Jesus to you. Jesus' gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation to you is a full gift that is given to all people who believe. Not more to some and less to others. Before God, we are all equal. We're all sinners needing forgiveness, and Jesus pours out his forgiveness in his word, in baptism, in Holy Communion. Full forgiveness is found in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Sinners rejoice at this good news. Sinners know they're sinners who deserve death and hell, but the good news of the Bible is Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus promises sinners they will not get what they deserve. Jesus offers the full gift of forgiveness to sinners everywhere. It's a free gift for everyone, and yet so many reject the gift because they reject Jesus. They don't want Jesus to be Lord of their life because they're more concerned with fitting into the world than they are about God, sin, and forgiveness. We see this in the chief priests and the elders who are not concerned about God. They're not concerned about sin and forgiveness. They're concerned about political power. They're concerned with what other people think of them. And so Jesus tells them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." Brothers and sisters in Christ, reject if-then analysis when speaking about faith. Reject giving calculated responses to fit in with the world. The truth of forgiveness of sins in Jesus is more important than being liked by others. You do not need to be liked. You need Jesus. Now, this is not a call for you to seek out confrontation, but rather, in the words of St. Peter, in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. When it comes to the truth of the Bible, do not do if-then analysis. Don't calculate your response to make it more palatable to the world. You know the truth. Confess the truth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The prayers this morning are for Kelly Nathan, a friend of the Roche family undergoing cancer treatment. Kathy Wodel is in ICU with blood pressure issues. For John Means, Pam Camp's father is at Bowman Pavilion for rehabilitation and therapy. For the family of Jamie Trinkline, a friend of Natalie Reavers, who died this last week. For the family of Wayne Pickleman, a friend of David Natalie Reavers, who died this week. For Harvey Walsh, a friend of Natalie Reaver, who has a rare genetic disorder. And for a member who's awaiting biopsy results. O Lord, we are your people, chosen by your grace to be your own possession, and granted mercy upon mercy. Hear your people who cry to you in need, and remember us according to the favor you have shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us know your ways, O Lord, that we may walk in the path of salvation made known in your word. Hear our complaints and quiet them by your merciful deliverance, that we may respond with trust and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy, encourage us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that we may not lose heart, but being in one mind and one will, we serve you with gladness, doing the works of your kingdom, and speaking your word of witness throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is good and right and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Bless Donald, our president, Michael, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy, show us your compassion, O Lord, and in your mercy grant healing, comfort, and peace to all those who suffer. Deliver them from all their affliction, pain, sorrow, and fear. We especially pray for Kelly, Kathleen, John, Harkin, James family, and Wayne's family, and for an unnamed member, and all those we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy, unite us, O Lord, that we may be of one mind and one will in doctrine, witness, and service,
Bless us as we come at your bidding to receive the body and blood of your Son at this table. Grant that what we receive in this holy communion we may keep in holy hearts and holy lives. Lord, in your mercy, grant to us all good things needful for this body and life and profitable for our salvation. And keep from us all things harmful that sustain in time of want and guard in time of prosperity we may endure to the day of our Lord's coming. And be judged worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it all. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Oh, see, but just a few announcements. We have ushers sign up at the narthex for October and November. Also, altar flowers sign up at the sign to the left of the exit. Our new portals of prayer for this coming quarter, October, November, December, are available. They're yellow this quarter. Also, there are a few copies of a voter guide that's put out by Citizens of Community Values, which is our lobbying group for Lutheran schools in Ohio. But it's a nonpartisan voter guide. Ask different candidates questions and reports how they respond to those questions. If you're interested, feel free to take one. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I was looking for the chain. Oh. I was thinking about it.
Janet pulled one out from, I think, the blue box. flute one in there, and she dropped it.